This is Jerry Pippin. We're broadcasting from the UFO Congress in Laughlin, Nevada at the Aquarius Resort Casino Hotel. And we are deep in the heart of the UFO Congress. Lots of interesting people here. A person I wanted to meet has dropped by the booth here, Maurice Osborne. And Maurice, you are unique in one thing. For sure, you give away these books.
Well, yes, sir. I just don't feel right about trying to make a profit from the information that I feel is essential for people to have.
So we're going to get into why you feel this way in a minute, but you have a website, and we have a link to it, but you might give it here on the air for people listening to us.
I appreciate that. Thank you. It's geocities.com/Maurice Osborne. Now that'd be geocities.com/Maurice, M-A-U-R-I-C-E, underline Osborne, O-S-B-O-R-N.
Now there's no E on that.
So. No E.
And we have a link, too, so people can go to our website and find your picture. And they can click right on there. We have your picture posted. Or they can go to the Laughlin series of shows and find it that way, too, and link to these books. Now, when you say they're free, you don't pay for the shipping.
Oh, sure I do.
Oh, you do?
I'm a nice guy, really. Honest. You must believe me.
I believe you. I'm impressed.
It's just information.
So were you born into royalty, or what happened here?
No, I just...
You just do it.
Just do it.
So and I want to get into the books. Let's talk about these books. First of all, Jim Mars walked by a while ago, and we're doing a series of Jim Mars of at least 20-some-odd shows about 9/11. And since you're giving these books away, we're going to ask you if I can have a copy of the 9/11 evidence that you've compiled.
Well, thank you, sir.
Because we might use that as one of our... obviously, you've done a lot of research on this.
Well, yes, sir. That particular book is only presented in the format of the evidence that would be used to prosecute those that should be brought to justice for the crimes committed on 9/11.
And do you name those people?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah. You're not going to ask me to reveal those names, are you?
Yeah, there's quite a few.
Yes, sir. I don't know that...
Well, one of them I thought was interesting. I believe you have Robert Mueller's name on there. Wasn't he FBI director?
Yes, sir. He is with Appella.
I mean, this is not too far off base from what our 9/11 series will be about. So
wonderful. Well, I'm so glad you're doing that. Obviously, a man that would say that all the evidence has been has already been brought out, and that there's no need for any more investigations shortly after 9/11. There's something wrong there.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying, and this is a UFO Congress, and we're going to do basically shows on that, but I wanted to bring out that you had done this, and because we are doing this series, which will be starting in a week or two.
Wonderful.
And we plan to get down to the nitty-gritty.
Ooh.
And get names, just like you do.
Wonderful.
And he's one of our names, too.
Good.
let's talk a little bit about the other books that are available on that website if they go over there. What do they find?
Well,
now this first one, this new one here, the essence of the notes, right? That's one of them.
Yes, sir. The thing is that a man I respect greatly, Lieutenant Colonel Wendell Stevens, retired, has done a wonderful job of translating the contact notes from Billy Meyer in Switzerland. And it's wonderful, but they're not available anymore. You can't read them anywhere. And so what I did is I provided them not only in an easy-to-read format, but that I organize them according to topics. You see, in the old contact notes, you never knew what was going to be discussed next. And in this way, I organize them so that any topic you want to get onto, whether it be religion, extraterrestrials of other worlds or their species or whatever, you can go directly to that information and find it.
Yeah, we've done an interview of Wendell Stevens, and we have done another one as well. It hasn't been posted yet, about the Billy Meyer, and he had some incidents over there and visited with Billy for a while. Have you ever been over there?
No, sir, I haven't.
Okay, so you did this as a detached observer without personal attack.
That's correct.
A personal touch. And so as a result of that, you probably are pretty objective. I know that you try to be.
If I may, I'd like to explain the reason why I got into that.
I'd like to hear about that.
You see, I decoded one of the crop circle messages that in 2001 that came out with this alien holding out this disc. Do you remember that crop circle?
Yes.
It was in, I think it was... the thing is that there were a bunch of dots and spaces in a circle, in a swirl pattern, that I was able to decode because I'm a computer programmer and I understood the language of binary ones and zeros. And when I discovered what the message said, I had to go to England, which I did, to create a response to that message and to try to begin a two-way communications.
Now, how did you start the two-way communication? How did you begin then, or try to start it?
Since I knew exactly how the message was laid out in the previous crop circle, I created a crop circle in the exact same format with the ones and zeros, dots and spaces.
Now, when you create a crop circle like that, I mean, you had to have help, didn't you? Or you do it by yourself? Or
yes, sir. I was able to acquire the help from some English folks there in England.
What kind of equipment do you use to create a crop circle?
Well, boards and rope and things like that.
Uh-huh. So you think you pretty well created something that was right on. In other words, you didn't have any mistakes in it, or did you?
No, sir. I think we got it exactly the way it was supposed to be done. The only problem was is that there was no response. And then it dawned on me, duh. The thing is that there's no reason for them to try and communicate back and forth in this very arcane ones and zeros manner as I discovered, there were communications going on for many, many years and are still going on with the Billy Meyer contact notes. That's why I got into that.
So that's how you got interested in the entire story. Now, you've had contacts.
Yes, sir, I have.
And I want to talk about those, if it's okay with you. Do you mind talking about your experiences?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I should say that when I was promoting that book last year...
Now, you're talking about the Billy Meyer, the notes book.
Thing, I believe I was contacted by a member of the Pleiades...
You think they're from the Pleiades?
The Pleiarans.
Yeah.
They're beyond the Pleiades. Anyway, I was contacted by a member of the Pleiarans who actually... came to me and talked to me about the work I was doing.
Now, when you say they actually came to you and talked to you physically or emotionally?
Yes, sir.
Or?
Yes, sir. I was going in back behind the curtain of the stage to present my video on the topic last year, and I was... And this beautiful woman came up to me and talked to me and about it, said I'd be fine and do fine and everything. I was nervous like I am now.
There's no reason to be nervous, even though there's a lot of people milling around. But that's because the convention took a break here, and they're out in the lobby where we're broadcasting. They're not after us, I don't think. We'll ask Roberta to keep an eye out for us while we're talking. Anyway, this beautiful woman came to you. Where did she come to you?
Well, she was back behind the stage where I was
right
preparing
here.
To come here at the
I mean,
Loughlin
not
conference.
Not 200 feet from where we are, maybe 300 feet, right there in the stage,
yes,
in the main
sir.
Room.
Yes, sir. And she was giving me encouragement to prepare.
How,
me.
Was she dressed like everybody else? Or?
That's what was strange. She had this beautiful long flowing robe or dress on with...
you know, I was here. I'm sorry I missed her.
Oh, and she was
It sounds
lovely.
Like it. Okay, so she was there, a woman in a robe. What color hair did she have?
A blonde hair.
Okay, a blonde
blue
woman.
Eyes.
Come, this is too good to be true, Maurice.
I know. I could hardly believe it, but she was very. She knew who I was, and she was encouraging me to promote my work.
Yeah. So that's an interesting contact. She just went away after that.
Yes, sir.
And
well, I had to go on stage to promote the
right.
the book,
and
but
that's kind of my luck. When you get off stage, you're gone.
Okay.
Maurice Osborner is our guest, and you give these books away, then go to the website. Not only you give them, you ship them.
Yes, sir.
For nothing.
Yes, sir.
And will you have a link to that website? How long have you been doing UFO things?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'd have to say it's been more than 20 years of research, and...
What started this? Were you just interested, or was there a contact, or do you know?
I suppose it was from happening to see a video by William Cooper, him and others that were talking about the extraterrestrial presence, and it just put the hook in me. When I saw that, I had to be... I had to get more involved.
I get the sense. In fact, you and I have corresponded a little bit, so I have a hunch. Maybe you even wrote it to me. Not all your contacts were as pleasant as this blonde-headed lady.
No, sir. I must say that I've had eye-to-eye contact with a gray being, a large gray being. At least I thought he was gray, large, because the head was so large. It's hard to tell whether they're big or small. But
now, where did this happen?
Right here at this conference 3 years ago. This is a popular place.
We are
place.
At the hot spot. Yeah.
I
remember 3 years ago somebody was talking about gray, and maybe they were talking about your experience. I don't know.
Yeah.
We hear about that occasionally. But this happened in the room or down here or where?
In my room. I was sleeping at night.
Uh-huh.
And
see, contrary to popular legend, in Nevada, people do actually go to bed sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you got to rest sometime.
Yeah, right.
Because there's just so much going on here. But, yes, I did. I was awakened. In the middle of the night, with the pressure of something going up my nose, I opened my eyes, and, well, that's what I saw, a big gray being with large eyes. And
what was he putting up your nose, a needle or something?
It was some sort of an instrument that I had. I saw his long fingers holding on to as he was pushing it up my nose, and obviously he was putting up an implant. I really didn't detect much pain.
Just the shock of opening your eyes and seeing a gray being.
Well, the thing is
he was leaning over you in bed.
Yeah. Well, I don't
or
know.
She?
I don't know if it was aboard the ship or in bed. I assume it was aboard the ship. But the thing is that that when you got something stuck down your nose, you have this feeling of.
Yeah, nobody would. No, that's not a very pleasant.
It's not a pleasant feeling.
Right.
So I opened my eyes and saw this being, and what happened was that I suppose he didn't want me to see him because he put me back unconscious shortly afterwards.
You just went unconscious, or did he literally give you something to?
Well, the thing that surprised me was that. my God, you know, of course, it's quite a shock to see something like that. But my particular perspective was I only saw like one half of the face, and I couldn't when I had regression.
You're talking about the upper half or the bottom half of the face, or the side.
The left side.
So in other words, you split it down the middle like a watermelon. You saw half of it.
Half of it. And the reason why I only saw half was because his face was right up close to me, and I was looking directly into his eye.
He was really close.
Very close.
No
and
bad
staring
burn.
Into.
Of course, you wouldn't be thinking about that with something up your nose. You probably couldn't smell it anyway.
But in other words, behind the
gist of the question really is, did you feel his presence? I mean, like if I was that close to you.
Oh, my God. Well, I think they have this very, I've been told they have this very powerful way of staring directly into your eyes, and where they're able to gain access through your whole body, through the eyes,
and
by
it felt,
staring.
And it kind of felt that way.
And it felt like he was... had total access to my body.
That eye, was it oval-shaped or round, or do you remember? Was it dark? Was there a pupil?
It was black eye. The darkness, yes. And it looked like
just
he was
looking at
staring
you. Did it, you know,
forever.
When you look at somebody's eyeball, they move around a little bit, twitch, nothing like that?
No, it's all black. Uh-huh. And I didn't see it. The eye
and there was no communication from him at that point.
No. I didn't even remember any of this until I went and had regression therapy done to recall. But it troubled me quite a bit, in so much as I wasn't able to.
When you woke up the next morning here at the hotel.
Yes.
Did you remember a dream or anything like that? I mean, why did you...
Well, what I remembered was I didn't remember anything.
Yeah.
I woke up with a bloody nose and this feeling of a channel that ran right up into my, like, next to my optic nerve. And I went to the sink and tried to sneeze it out or do something. And what came out with... all the power I had to try and eject what was up there was that it was this tiny little cylindrical device that came out. Now, I don't think that was what was put up my nose. I don't think that was the implant itself. I think it was just like a packing material to try and stop the bleeding. But when you wake up with those symptoms, you know there's something happened.
Now, when it came out, did you continue to bleed?
Yes. Yes, it
I mean,
continued.
You're in a hotel in a strange place, bleeding like that. What happened? I mean, how do you stop it? I guess you just...
You do what you can.
Yeah.
I tried to get out whatever I could because I knew it had to have been an implant. And it's bothered me ever since that I no longer have any moment of privacy for the rest of my life.
You're positive they're tracking you or listening to you or something.
Yes, sir. There's no doubt in my mind. They're using my eyes.
They know you're writing the books then.
They know that.
They know you're talking to me.
Yes, sir. And I feel sorry for others who I look at because they're using my eye to see others, see what I see. They're using my ears to hear what I hear.
Now, why did you come to that conclusion?
I've done a lot of study on implants,
uh-huh.
And I understand that where this one is particularly located is up near the optic nerve, and that tells me they're using the visual impressions that that they're getting from my eyeball to see with. And
so did you have regression therapy here? I know there's a lady doing part of that. Barbara Lamb was doing some other people.
I did not have that done here.
Yeah.
It was 2 weeks later before I was able to get that.
Before you decided to do it.
Yeah.
But you knew something had happened to you during the night.
Yes, sir, I knew it. And what was strange, was that I had this huge anger, this rage inside of me the next day.
So you were PO'd. Well, that would be a normal reaction. I think that happens to women who are violated. And this is something similar. I mean, they've done something with your body against your consent.
Well, at the time, I didn't know if it was the Grays or what. I didn't know who had done it.
But you were just mad because you had a nosebleed.
Well, actually, I didn't know why I was so darn angry. I mean, I was filled with rage against the Grays. And at the time, I didn't know who it was that had...
But you were already mad at the Grays.
No.
Oh, you're just mad.
Well, I was mad at the Grays, and I didn't know why I was mad. And it wasn't until I had the regression therapy that I found out why.
And what else did they do to you?
I really don't know. Because, like I said, they put me unconscious.
Now, this was what, 3 years ago?
3 years. Well, 2003, I guess that's 4 years.
So, you weren't bad for the hotel business. You came back. Well, I'm serious. I don't know if I'd come back or not, but you have an, in other words, obviously you have an overriding reason to investigate and to get the word out. I mean, you're giving away free books, and you...
You got that right.
And you want people to know your experience, but not only that, what else is happening around.
Absolutely.
And... So the message is, watch out, or what? I don't guess there's anything you can do to prevent an abduction.
Oh, yes, you
there?
Can. As a matter of fact, one of the pamphlets that I have over there, I forgot to bring one to you, it's called Alien Abduction Resistance.
You have the pamphlet?
Yes, sir.
It's your pamphlet.
Well,
now,
actually,
I've talked to Daryl Sims about that. He says you can do that, too.
Yes, you can. There are techniques that you can do to help prevent the abduction phenomenon.
We had Robert Miles a little early in the Fast Walkers, and I kind of alluded to your pamphlet saying, I'm told that you can do certain things. We'll find out if I mentioned the right thing on that documentary or not when we come back. We've got to take a commercial, and we'll find out if you think you're getting abducted or something. Maurice Osborne says you can prevent it or at least slow it down or something. We'll find out. Maurice, we'll be right back. It happened almost 60 years ago, but the debate still rages. Did an alien spacecraft crash outside Roswell, New Mexico in 1947? The most concise and complete series ever broadcast on Roswell, direct from Roswell. New programs added weekly. Check it out on the UFO Congress on JerryPippin.com.
About 8 or 10 miles.
Broadcasting from the UFO Congress, I'm Jerry Pippin. The entrance, the essence of the notes is one of the books by our guest, Maurice Osborne. Maurice Osborne was telling us about his experience, and he says that you can prevent these things or do something about being abducted, and that's one of the reasons he gets the message out. What's in that pamphlet, Maurice?
Well, sir, I've been able to put together a set of procedures or things that a person can do if they become if someone tries to come and abduct them. It starts out with the things you can do in preparation. You know, most abductees are abducted
More than once. And are you saying most abductees can tell when it's going to happen again?
That's true. They get a sense for what's about to happen because the hairs on the back of their head stand up. They can't hear any other normal outdoor noises or anything.
Does this happen just seconds before it happens?
Yes, sir. And so they can detect... That it's going to happen when most times they just wake up and discover some beings at the foot of their bed, but sometimes they are aware.
Do you find that this happens mostly with people when they're asleep, or
most of the time? And Most abductees have sleeping problems because they're afraid to sleep.
How about you?
No, fortunately for me, I've only had this one bad experience, and I'm not really needed for their breeding program. I'm shooting blanks, you might say, so I'm
it's
not
It's true
needed.
Confession time.
Yes.
No one's listening, are they?
Well, so anyway, okay, millions of people now know. Well, let me help you a little bit. I don't know.
So anyway, I'm not really needed for their abduction program anymore. They just wanted to keep track of what I'm doing. And since
think that was the main reason they did you in the first place? Or
yes,
was
sir.
It was.
They only want to keep track of me and see what I'm doing. Because obviously, I'm an outspoken person in resistance of the abduction phenomenon. And so they want to keep an eye on
well,
me.
Have they tried to stop you from talking about this?
No, sir. Not yet, thank goodness.
So maybe they don't object to you getting the word out. But you would think they would, since you know how to prevent these things.
Yes, sir.
Okay, you get the feeling coming on, the feeling of anxiety, the back of your neck, the hairs stand up. You think something's wrong, you may or may not hear ringing in your ears or something. We don't know, but you get the feeling, definitely.
Yes,
what do you
sir.
Do next? You don't want to be abducted.
You can shout out. Fear is a very bad emotion. I discourage anyone from being fearful or angry like I was. What you need to be is you need to stand up for your rights and say, darn it, you don't have a right to do this. You have to speak out and say, damn it, not me. You have no right being here. You get away from me and stay away from me and my family.
They seem to listen to this.
They do.
Do you think that is?
Well, if you act like a victim, you'll be treated as one, and if you act like a god, you'll be treated as one. And
you think it's more not necessarily ethics, it's just your whole atmosphere. They just don't want to deal with somebody that's not ready.
That's it. That's it. If you don't give
In
them...
other words, there's easier prey. It's kind of like the singles bar. They all may be available, but some are more available.
You have a cunning way of sticking right to the matter.
The chase, right. Well, and evidently that appears what this is about.
Well, not necessarily. They do have a breeding
program. Well, I don't mean
they're
going to pick you up for that, but they're going to do something.
Yes, sir. They're going to be wanting to pick up ladies that are a part of their breeding program, where they put a fetus inside them that they've been able to breed and have hibernate in women, and they've got to get it back out before it's detected. So they got to pick up some people within a certain amount of time before the fetus is detected. But it's pretty serious for them to pick up some people, but in most cases you can just say, get the heck away from me. I don't want you here. Go away.
Now, when we talk about this entire program, we mentioned they're using you more or less as a human predator. I mean, I'm talking about like the spy plane.
Mm-hmm.
You're walking around looking at things, and you why do you think they can see what you're saying? Just because of where it is, by the optic nerve that see what you're seeing and hear what you're saying and what the people are interacting?
Well, yes, sir. I have also had hearing problems in my left ear, and I didn't know why for the longest time until I've heard that there were implants that were placed within the ear. And so I have to assume they are also listening to what I hear, as well as what I say, and know exactly where I'm at all times. But
So this is supposition on your part.
Yes, sir.
But you've had some validation, I think, because you say with quite great confidence, Maurice.
I've done a lot of research with experiencers in Sweden and across the United States. I'm very familiar with the implants that are found with NP.
Are there certain places in the world they do more of this? Are they interested in, for instance, different types of races? Or have you noticed, or is it just pretty well across the board?
They want people that blend in, that look the same. They want to create hybrids that blend in and look the same as everyone else. So it's across the board.
Is it because they think they've created a better human, or what? I mean, why do they want this?
You're really getting into the nitty-gritty, aren't you? You really want me to say what it's all about, huh?
Yeah, I'm definitely trying to. Do you want to tell me?
All right, I'll tell you.
Okay, we'll be right back. We're going to take a break. Maurice Osborne is our guest. And you go to his website. We have a link to it. And you will be able to get any of these books free. And he has a little briefing paper I want to talk to him about, too. This is Jerry Pepin. Don't go away. The biggest secret ever is about to be revealed. Fast Walkers. UFO and alien disclosure.
Words you were never meant to hear.
It's clear we're dealing with a cosmic Watergate.
This is the biggest secret in the history of the human race, the known modern history of government.
Photos you were never meant to see. Video you never knew existed. People you were never meant to meet.
As Jack Nicholson would say, you can't handle the truth.
Essentially everything that you would want to know has been covered up.
Things you were never meant to know about.
No one has produced a higher quality, better produced DVD. Anytime, anywhere. Fast Walkers, now available on DVD for only $19.95 at shopjerrypippin.com.